video entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Hello, Flemington. This is your 4 o'clock weather. I'm going to wrestle with my microphone first. Your 4 o'clock weather for Flemington. This afternoon looks like showers. Pretty much, and as we walked into the studio, we experienced a bit of that. Decreasing clouds, though, tonight as it goes along. And tomorrow, I can promise you right now some sunny skies. I think that you'll probably have weather in the 50s and a little bit of wind with some gusts, but basically tomorrow is going to be our weather day for it all to happen.
Hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance.
Well, welcome to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. It's a continuing discovery and discussion on the spiritual nature of all life. And today we're going to be talking about dreams. I'm Suzanne Legay, and I'm your host. And you'll meet in a little while someone who unequivocally will tell us that dreams are real. And the one thing that I've noticed, and I hope we'll cover when we begin to talk, is this notion that today it seems that the ancient traditions in China and some of our early civilizations about the nature of dreams in our lives have sort of lost flavor in modern times. So if we're going to be talking about dreams are real and what that matters, what that means in our lives, let's hope we cover some of the things that we hear about dreams. Someone might say, I don't dream. And someone might say, if they're referring a particular dream, maybe an upsetting dream or something like that, and somebody will say, it's just a dream. Other folks go for therapy and psychoanalyze their dreams, while others may pick a book off the shelf and say, I want to wonder what that dream means. So today's host, our guest, Joyce Snyder, is a writer and a dream expert who gives talks and workshops around the country. So welcome, Joyce. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me and inviting me to talk about my favorite subject, or one of my favorite subjects.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to be so interested in dreams and become so knowledgeable about them.
Okay. Well, going back to one of the comments you made is that, like most people, I was at a point where I would dismiss the dream in the morning because it didn't make any sense. I'd have these dreams and then say, well, that was just a dream. And then about 35 years ago. Then one night I went to a lecture at a local library that they were doing on dreams. And the person who did the talk said a couple of things that really changed the direction of my life and made me more aware of dreams and their importance in our life. And the first thing he said was, dreams are real. Well, that was a new concept for me because I thought they were this dismissible imagination that happened in the morning, you know, that we dismissed in the morning. But he said, if your mind is sleeping and your body is sleeping, what part of you is having the dream? I thought that was a pretty good question, and we discussed that. And he introduced the idea that we have a spiritual body or a soul body as well as our physical body. And so the spiritual body is not limited by needing sleep the way our physical body is, and so it will go off. It has the ability to go off and have experiences in other worlds, other dimensions, other planes. That was very exciting to hear that. So, you know, if you look at the logic of it, we're two-thirds of our lives are awake, and one-third we spend sleeping. I mean, that's if we're lucky and we don't have insomnia, we spend a third of our life sleeping. Then what we're doing during that time has to have some value in our lives, has to be important in some way. So the obvious next step for that was, well, if we're having these dreams and we are actually having these experiences, you know, what do they mean? Why are we having them? And what's the purpose of this in our life? Since, you know, this should have a purpose if we're spending that much time. And so throughout the discussion and what I've learned over these past 35 years is that the purpose that dreams play in our lives are mainly to help us in our physical life. It's like it's all works together, but the making our physical life better, making our physical person better, is the purpose of the dreams, to help us do better in this life.
How so? How does that work?
Well, it can be through, you can get an insight in the dream. Guidance can come in the dream. You know, guidance, I think, is a really valuable tool, but also healing can come in the dream. And if I may, I'll share a dramatic experience with this, that particular thing, that sure. proved to me those first two points, that dreams are real and that there's a purpose to dreams. Back in the 80s, this was when I was just beginning to look into this, I had a medical procedure that was supposed to be an outpatient thing, you know, very quick, very simple. But something happened and something went wrong. So I went home to recuperate, and the doctor saying I'd be all better the next day. But something went wrong and I began getting sick, and I took my temperature and I was 101. And then I just thought, well, I'll just go to bed and rest, which I did. And as the evening wore on, every time I took my temperature, it was up another point until I was almost at 104. And at that point, I knew I had to do something, but I was too listless to think about what to do. So I fell into this semi-conscious dreamy kind of state, and I felt like my body was a foot or 2 feet above my bed, above me, you know, my body. And it was a very weird feeling. And almost at the same time, I was aware of being in a greenhouse with an old Chinese man who was taking leaves from plants and roots and different things from the plants and grinding them in a mortar and pestle kind of thing. And then he poured hot water over it and indicated that I was to drink this, which I did. And that was the dream experience. And the next thing I knew, it was several hours later, I woke up, I took my temperature, I felt fine, I took my temperature, and I was 98.6. So that was an astounding experience for me. It made me realize, first of all, dreams are real, because that couldn't have... It happened in the dream state, and I was healed like that, you know? So it was pretty amazing. And it also showed me that one of the purposes of the dream state, the power that the dream state has, is not only to guide us and instruct us and teach us, but to heal us when we need it. Now, in this particular, I didn't know at the time that Chinese man was a spiritual master, and was whose purpose was to, you know, to help. And so he gave me this healing. Even when I was in the dream, I felt the power, that I felt that I was being healed. I knew I was being healed. And there was this tremendous love that was coming from this old Chinese man. And it's something like I had never experienced before, that kind of love. So the idea of the reality of dreams, the purpose of dreams, and the love that can be gained from them was just a profound experience for me.
I want to ask you a little question about you talking about the dream state as if it were a place.
Oh. Well, because we have the ability as soul to travel to other worlds and other dimensions and other places, I call it a dream state because it's sort of like a state of consciousness that you're in.
Ah, okay. Now I think it's clearer maybe for our listeners. It's a state of consciousness. And we always hear that we're much bigger than our brains or are much bigger than our awareness and so forth. So
right.
So it's a state of consciousness. That works for me. That helps. That's great. So what you're saying is an experience like that has a definite effect in our what we call real world, and yet as we talk along, let's see what you think about what's real and what.
Well, I think most people have an unconscious awareness that the dream land or dream state can be helpful, because how many times have you said something like, you know, if you have a problem or you can't make a decision about something and you say, well, I'll sleep on it. A lot of people say that, and I think that's that unconscious awareness that something can happen in the dream that can help us resolve a problem. And then you wake up in the morning and you know what to do. And I do that often. And I just, Now I'm at the point where I say, I don't know what to do, but I will know in the morning, and I trust that the dream process, whether I remember it or not, will deliver the right decision for what I need to do the next day about that problem.
Do you think that that's because you started by saying 35 years ago? Do you think that that's particular to you? Is this something that everybody can learn to pay better attention to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, if dreams have some value to us, why wouldn't you want to begin using this part of your life to benefit you? You know, it's like a resource that you have access to. And yes, everybody does. One of the things that was said that night at the lecture was, if you are sincere about using your dream state to benefit you, to learn something, you need to remember them. You need to remember your dreams in order to do that.
Well, I hope we talk quite a bit about that part of this. because when we started talking... I'm saying that I'm not a great rememberer of my dreams. And mm-hmm. and Joyce and I, of course, were visiting for a couple of minutes before we started the show. And she's been working at this very diligently and very well. And it sounds like it's an automatic part. It's a woven in part of your awareness of life. So I want to talk about how we can, mm-hmm. how we learn to do that and what we do. But we already have to take a break here, okay. and thank our sponsors for supporting and promoting the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio show. So we're going to pause for a few minutes to listen to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with our really in-depth conversation about dreams.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Yeah.
You are soft-spoken.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Small when you stand beside the ocean.
Well, welcome back to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. I'm Suzanne Legay, your host, and I'm here today with Joyce Snyder, an expert on dreams at the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, coming to you on I always have to look this up to make sure. www.hcrdb. So, Joyce, we talked a little bit about dreams are real. Mm-hmm. And what the purpose is, how they serve us in life. But, you know, and I had shared with our audience that I'm not necessarily a great rememberer of dreams, though I hope that by the end of today's conversation I know what to do about that, as may some of our listeners. But what if we don't remember our dreams, like me? I'm sure I'm not the only one.
You are probably not the only one. You said something in the beginning about people who say, oh, I don't dream. First of all, that's not true. Everyone dreams, and it comes back to exactly what you're asking about, and it's remembering. We all dream, but the ability to remember them is something that you need to, you know, sometimes work on to get to that point. One of the first tips that made a difference for me was the suggestion that you start writing your dreams in a journal or a notepad by your bed, or record them as soon as you wake up. And once I made the commitment to do that, and I think the word commitment is important because it's like you're saying to the source of dreams. Now, the source of dreams we didn't talk about yet, but for me, it could, you know, it's divine spirit. It could be your unconscious, your subconscious. People look at different sources of where their dreams come from. Whatever you perceive as the source of your dreams, it's a positive source. You know, if it's coming from divine spirit, Holy Spirit, then yeah, it's obviously positive. So the commitment,
or part of us, as you said before, of our consciousness that we're not necessarily tuned into just yet.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So if you want to make use of your dreams, which after that first lecture, I said, wow, I want to learn how to do this. So the first thing you do is make the commitment to remember your dreams. And the idea of writing, having a notepad ready to write something down, even if you remember only a snippet, a color, an image, anything that is going to indicate to your source of dreams, yes, I'm ready to start using them.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah,
you?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I have a sense. I mean, I do know people that say they don't dream. I have a sense that I do, and every once in a while, I remember something, mm-hmm. and it's very vivid and so forth. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of this, in other words, if someone is the saying, I don't dream, or there is someone like me that says, sometimes I do, but I don't. Okay. You're saying even before you go to bed at night, there's things to do to sort of train yourself. Is that how I understand
it? Yes, absolutely. To allow yourself to get enough rest, try to wake up without an alarm, which can be tricky for people who are still working, but have a notebook ready. And have the spiritual commitment to, you know, make some use of these dreams. One of the things that I suggest is to read something uplifting before you go to bed, whether it's the Bible or some whatever spiritually uplifts you, some kind of writing. And that prepares yourself to enter the dream world, which is the spiritual world, because it's happening in the non-physical world.
To tune into this consciousness you're talking about.
To tune into the dream consciousness.
Yeah.
I had a dream class one time where I suggested this, and I might have left out the word read something uplifting, and I said read something, you know, before you go, assuming. And the next class, this woman came in, she goes, I'm still having nightmares. And I said, what are you reading before you go to bed? No, she goes, I'm reading just like you told me to. And I said, what are you reading? And she said, Stephen King. And I was like, no. I meant something uplifting, something that's going to calm you or put you in a more spiritual place than Stephen King. My apologies to Mr. King. So when you do that, you're preparing the groundwork for entering this spiritual world. And often, for me, when I came back from that lecture, I said, all right, I'm going to do that. I got a notepad and got it next to my bed. And the next morning, I recorded 14 separate dreams that I remembered from that first suggestion. So
you were meant to be here today, Joyce.
It was an immediate, feedback. Yeah. We're going to write in your dreams. It immediately worked, and it continued that way for years. Just being willing to write them down, they kept coming. It's like opening the door to these inner worlds. And when you open that door,
that makes real sense to me.
Yeah, the floodgates of dreams can just start coming through. It's like now they found the way into your consciousness. So they're gonna continue to come. The more you welcome that dream, you know, the dream insights, guidance, healings, the more it'll come. So that's one way is to.
And when you say have a pad and pencil, are we suggesting people wake up and do that, or just in the morning if they get a sense?
Well, ideally it would be great if it sometimes happens. A dream is so intense that you wake up and you say, "Oh, I'll remember that," and you don't.
Yeah.
Because
that's
the nature of dreams is to be elusive. So if you have it there and you write it first thing before you get out of bed, before the day takes over your life.
Before you pick up your phone to look at emails that might have occurred during
night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to say that before, and you said read something uplifting, and it's not looking at the blue screen here that you're...
Right. It's definitely not that. Remembering them is a big step if you want to gain anything from the dreams, because before you can begin to understand them or interpret them, you have to remember them, right? So paying attention to that part of it and being willing to write them down or record them in some way. For a while, I had a little tape recorder that I just have to pick up and go. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Of course, sometimes it didn't make any sense, but it was a shot. Yeah.
What do you have to say for those of us who aren't yet in a place where our dreams are clear and we remember them and so forth? Are we missing a huge treasure in our life?
It's funny you use the word treasure because
or enrichment.
Yeah,
shall I say.
I like the word treasure because I think that the world that we have access to is limited. It's limited to the physical world, but when we are able to open that treasure box, and for a lot of people, and a lot of scientists believe that it's the subconscious that's spewing out the dreams, might be. And if so, what is it that's in our subconscious that we don't have access to any of that, which is why it's below our consciousness? But when we start getting access to that, it might be bringing us gems of insights that we didn't have before, or something from a past life that will help us in this life. So there's all sorts of things that are in this treasure box of dreams, and until we learn to open it, we are missing out on a little bit of it, yeah.
You just dropped a jewel here that I'm only going to pick up to tell our listeners and our audience that we might come back and talk about that sometime, but you said it might be something from our past life, and that's a whole other conversation that I think that...
I realize that.
Yeah, so maybe that's something we can talk about in the future, because that's certainly interesting in and of itself. But so if we're missing... In other words, that's a sort of impetus, isn't it? I mean, that encourages me. That makes me enthusiastic about doing some of the things you're talking about, making sure I have something to write it down, and also to prepare before I go to bed. There was one thing, too, that I liked that you said, and I'm wondering if it went unnoticed, not to me, but just for our audience, is that you said, expect a dream. Say, I know I dream. I'm just not awake to it, or if I can use that expression. I'm not awake to my dreams. So if we set ourselves up, it sounds like, to say, I know I'm going to dream and I'm going to try and remember it, and this is what I'm doing, that kind of thing is work with yourself.
Yeah.
Give the dream a fair chance,
Well, it's like that concept of live as if, live as if you have abundance, live as if you have love and wealth and whatever it is, the things that you want in life. Because living as if is setting out a positive postulate for you. And that's a very important one. It's like, I'm going to dream tonight, and I'm going to remember them. In another workshop that I did one time, I read from a journal, and it was all these marvelous things that had happened to the person, and everybody assumed it was the dream state. And we asked, well, when was that written? And it was written before she went to bed. So that she was setting up an enormous success of experiences in her dream state just by writing down, this is what happened. And she made it sound like it was a dream, but it was actually before the dream. So feeling a strong postulate, a strong desire to remember your dreams is huge in making it happen.
Okay, so let's say that I start to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wake up, and so I've set myself up.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up in the morning, I might have, they sort of arrive as stories, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I said wake up to dreams, and that sort of created a vision for me about being aware that you're dreaming, you know, when you're dreaming,
mm-hmm.
or just if you wake up in the morning and you have this feeling, oh, I just had that dream, and you write it. Okay.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we do that, then how do we know it? I mean, is it always a strict, clear message that it's going to say what you need to do today to deal with that situation with your boss is? Because you had a dream where you were sitting at the table talking to him, or like you did with your your Chinese healer that mm-hmm. mixed a mixture that, okay, so am I going to know when I wake up and I have this dream exactly what it meant and what I'm to do? Is it like a prescription?
Oh, would that it were so. No, it is not. I wish it were that easy, but many times dreams can be come in two ways, really. One is in symbols. They're cloaked in symbols, and that's a whole other reason why, but we won't go into that. But they come through in symbols, which is why most people wake up and say, you know, I was in Paris, and then the ketchup came from the ceiling, and then the dog ran out. I mean, they don't make any sense because of the process of bringing these experiences from a nonverbal world into our consciousness and into our verbal world. So sometimes they're so caught up in symbols that they do take a little work to figure out what the message is, because dreams are always, always carry a message for you from your higher self, from God, from, you know, whatever you want to look at your higher place as. So that's one way that dreams need to be interpreted, because they come in symbols. The other way, and sometimes dreams are very direct, just a direct message. For example, I had a dream one night that my car had a flat tire. And so I went out in the morning, and all four tires were fine. So I drove to work and went to work, and at the end of the day, I came out, and I had a flat tire. So the timeline is not always right, but it was telling me I was going to have a flat tire. So sometimes the dreams are very direct, and other times, those are the easy ones, you know. It's when we have to look at the symbols that our dream has manifested, whether they're, complicated or confusing. That takes a little work to interpret the dreams, and I assume
let's talk a little bit about that, though.
Sure.
If you're saying symbols, that could get discouraging if you write down a symbol that means nothing to you. What do you do with that, or how do you know how does one come to understand what that symbol is? That when you go to the library and take something off the shelf and look at symbols and read it, or what, you know? Let's get into that a little bit.
Okay, first of all, when you talk about going to the library and maybe getting a dream interpretation book, 9 times out of 10, that's not going to be very helpful. And the reason is your dreams are extremely personal. Your dreams are all about you, and they're created for you. The message is for you. So by getting a dream journal that's going to say, if you dream about a boat, it means this. There are very few universal symbols. Most symbols are personal. For example, if you dream about yellow roses. Now, somebody who dreams about yellow roses had a wonderful experience. That was her first bouquet of flowers at the prom, and, you know, all these nice associations with yellow roses. So for her, a dream about yellow roses would mean something pleasant. On the other hand, someone who picked a yellow rose as a kid and got the thorns in their hands and were screaming and crying and forever after wouldn't look at yellow roses, they dream about yellow roses, it's an entirely different experience, a different meaning. So you're the only one that can interpret your dreams. The dreamer is the only one who has access to everything in their experience, whether it's from awake life, dream life, past life, to understand what the dream is trying to tell you. So you bring up a point about symbols, you don't know what they mean. If you keep a journal and you start having dreams with recurring symbols. Now, that's something that's trying to get your attention. So you dream about a yellow school bus. Maybe one of the windows is blocked. Yeah, that's interesting. And the next night you dream about a yellow school bus, and another night, and so forth. That's called a recurring symbol. And spirit, or your subconscious, is trying to get a message across, and this is the symbol that it's using. So you would have to take a symbol, whatever it is, and say, okay, what does this symbol mean to me? And you begin looking at it that way. You take the symbol and try to break it down into your own dictionary. Creating a dream dictionary is another tool that you can use to interpret your dreams. You start, you say, okay, school bus, a yellow school bus means learning. education. All right, so then you dream about that five nights, you put that down, and so forth. So you just take every symbol and see what it means to you personally, because, again, you're the only one who can interpret the dreams. It's a personal markup just for you.
So it could be literal, mm-hmm. or it could be sort of masked, mm-hmm. or it could be relating symbols that if you pay some attention to, really have something for you, have a message yeah. for you for your life.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes just in the act of writing the dream down, I remember one time there was a person who was a thorn in my life. And
speaking of yellow roses.
And didn't like him very much. And, you know, he was just a problem person who happened to be in my life. And in this, and then it, outwardly we began going our separate ways. So in the dream, I was in a at a sink washing my hands, and then he came in and he washed his hands. And I didn't know what that meant until I start writing it in my journal the next day, and I wrote, "We washed up." And I thought, oh, we're washed up. We're done. And that was the interpretation for me, was that I was done. We washed things up. It was all over and done with.
That takes trust, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
right? I mean, to know that you're... I'm trying to follow a path here. And mm-hmm. so we're saying that they're real. Mm-hmm. We're saying that they're individual. And when we begin to... I'm guessing that as you begin to do this over time, you begin to see how much of a real part of you these messages are, our consciousness that mm-hmm. has been expanded while we're sleeping, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how much you can rely and trust those dreams.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
That's the enrichment question I asked before. Yeah. You know, I mean, if we can build our relationship with our own dreams, mm-hmm. so it becomes one of not just information or maybe just a kick to start off mm-hmm. with. Let me see if I can remember 14 dreams like Joyce can. you know, but I mean, if we begin to get intrigued enough, one would assume that those messages begin to play out for us, inform us. You talked about the flat tire. I mean, there could be something that we need to be alerted to. Mm-hmm. It could be something that's rewarding or just something. It mm-hmm. sounds like there's a bunch of sort of categories if we were to sit yeah. here and do that. And I don't know if that's necessary for today's discussion. But it sounds like when you say washed out, I mean, that is a very clear symbol. Mm-hmm. Then to sort of get that and weave that back into our daytime, right, our waking lives. Mm-hmm. Takes a fair amount of reliance and trust, and
yeah, I like the word trust because you're trusting this higher source, and the higher source has to trust you to give you this information. So it's a two-way trust. So the more you
nice.
Start trusting the source of your dreams, the more the source is going to trust you with the dreams, and so you can get more out of them. Like that dream was very quick. I got the dream, and then I wrote it and got it. I got the message. And knew that I didn't have to fret about this person anymore. Probably one that was a little more graphic was a friend who, it was a personal romantic relationship that was not working out and needed to end, but I didn't want to, and, you know, all this stuff was going
yes. on.
So the dream was I'm riding a bicycle, and this guy's on my bike behind me. And I'm really trying hard to keep pedaling because it's hard with an extra weight. So I'm pedaling and pedaling, and then I started wobbling. The bike started wobbling. And eventually, I just fell over. I couldn't maintain it. And I knew that was telling me I couldn't carry this relationship anymore. It was throwing me out of balance, and eventually it would just, you know, cause me to crash and burn if I didn't end it. So that was like, wow, that's a great insight. It gave me the strength to say, okay, spiritually or inwardly, this is what I have to do because it's the best thing for me. So that kind of guidance that can come through to tell you what to do in life, you know, what avenue to take, how to handle things, is so invaluable.
As you travel around and do your workshops and talks, you must hear a tremendous number of stories
yeah.
similar to that, huh?
Yeah, yeah, really. It's a lot of people... You know, when you make the step towards learning dreams, it really just becomes such a rewarding way of learning your life. Somebody wise once said, if you could learn to read your dreams, you would have a blueprint for your life. You know, it would just give you everything you needed in life. So that's what I work on. That's what I work on every day, to try to get all the guidance that I'm entitled to and, you know, make it work for me.
I like that, to get all the guidance I'm entitled to.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to say that again, to get all the guidance I'm entitled to,
yes,
to open this door, to let those dreams come out,
yeah,
is something that enriches, settles, mm-hmm, makes sense of our lives.
Yeah.
It's this conversation, I think, is important to all of our audience here in terms of what's available to us,
mm-hmm,
in terms of understanding ourselves and understanding life. As the way you describe it, so we've got these symbols. Now I'm going to try and take our folks through all this, right? So we know we prepared before, and then we're starting to remember them. Then sometimes it's in symbols, sometimes it's in a clear message. How do we apply? In other words, we're washed up didn't mean that the next day you called up or talked to this person and said, hey, we're washed up here, right? How do that must be a very individual thing as well, right? How,
yeah,
people apply what they learn.
Absolutely.
Must be as individual as the symbols are or as the dream is.
Yeah.
So the book on the shelf in the library is not going to tell you that either, right?
No. As I said, there's very few universal symbols. One of them actually that is a universal symbol is a vehicle. And I should have said that when I was talking about my bicycle. When you see a bicycle or a truck or a car or an airplane or whatever mode of transportation, that's a symbol for you, your body, your physical self. So that was always a clue. If you're on some kind of vehicle, that's always you. That's the main symbol. I'd say 95% of the time, it's you, your body. So that's why I knew that riding the bicycle, I was talking about my life. I was talking about myself. Being the bike, you know, that kind of thing.
So it really doesn't work for us then to be interpreting, you know, you and I ride to work every day together, let's say, or there's a car full of people, mm-hmm, on way to work. And so somebody says, I have a dream, and everybody chimes in to interpret it. That could get confusing to someone that's trying to build their own trusting relationship with their own dreams.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing, when you wake up in the morning and you've had a dream that gives you some pause, that makes you think, oh, that meant something, but I don't know what, the first thing you do is, you know, jot down the key parts of the dream, you know, bus, driver, yellow, whatever the colors and the things are, and then take a stab at interpreting it and go with your gut feeling. Does your gut tell you that was, do you feel enlightened or uplifted when you interpret the story, when you interpret the dream? If it makes you feel uplifted or enlightened, then you're on the right track with the dream, because dreams come to uplift us, not to destroy us. They come from a positive place, so they don't come to crush you or put you down. So always look for a positive interpretation of the dream, and then how does it make you feel? You know, like sometimes I'll have a dream, and I say, okay, I'm going to say it means this. I'm talking to my dream master, you know. I'm saying, I say it means this. Tell me if I'm wrong. So I'll say, I think it means this, and then I wait and see if anything comes in to, you know, disabuse me of that notion of what it was. So always go with your gut and look for a positive interpretation of dreams, because that's the key to understanding your dreams.
The more, you know, we say that life is a spiritual occasion is an ongoing conversation about the spiritual nature of our lives. And this is a huge component.
Oh, yeah.
This is a huge component.
Yeah, this is probably,
I see this as the beginning of a relationship between Life is a Spiritual Occasion radio show and Joyce Snyder. Because at the end, I'm going to give you all, at this point, I'm just going to give you my email, because I want to know what you think of our conversations that we have here about spirit in our lives and how it works, and that life indeed is a spiritual occasion. And then eventually, I've talked to the radio station about each of us that has a program on this 24/7 radio station can have an email. But I'm going to give you mine, because I want to know what people learn from our conversation here, and how much of a contribution knowing the spiritual side of us. And we're not talking religion, and we're not talking whether you believe this or you believe that. We're talking about this is a part of us.
Absolutely. It's a part of everyone. And again, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It is everybody's spiritual because everybody has a spiritual body. It's just a fact. It's a fact to me.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
well, it's part of our heart. It's part of our intuition. It's part of our wanting to be better.
Yeah.
And I happen to believe that everybody is moving toward better. And that might look kind of raw to some of us sometimes when we view others, hopefully not ourselves. But I do believe that spiritually everyone is in a quest to, you know, to improve and to learn and to be more and more spiritual in their lives. So,
absolutely.
So it sounds like we need to make this our own business. I'm just writing my notes here that you've covered, that it's really our own business to interpret our own dreams. And can tell us how we can tell if they're right. How do we measure these experiences, Joyce?
Well, that was kind of what I said. If you look at how you feel about the dream, look at how it makes you feel. There was a time when people would come and say, I'll tell you this dream. Will you interpret it for me? And I said, well, I can give you some ideas what I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to get you after the show, Joy. No, I'm just teasing.
Sometimes it's very obvious to others. Now, there was this guy that I worked with who was one of the nicest, calmest, most patient. He just never raised his voice. He was always this
everybody's ideal boss or something.
Even-keeled guy. And he came into work one day late, and he said, my car overheated. You had a pretty brand new car, so it was kind of strange because I don't get it. I don't understand. My car overheated. And immediately it came to me that his car is his body.
Ourself. You told us
and
that.
He had overheated. And I said, well, did you have a fight with your wife this morning? And he goes, how could you know that? And I was like, well, your body I didn't get too far into it, but I was like, you overheated, you know. And he said, they did. And it's so even-keeled that it was rare to have a fight with his wife. So sometimes it's obvious like that when you know enough about the way it works. I could look at somebody's dreams and say, yeah, it could mean that. But basically it comes back to the person needing to, learn their own symbols and get in touch with their self enough. You mentioned earlier about this. It's like a bridge. It's a bridge between the dream world and your outer world. The dream becomes this avenue or this bridge. And the more you can access what's in your subconscious, the more you can heal yourself outwardly, become more enlightened, become freer of our, garbage, our fears, our
steadies
all
our
kinds
life.
Of things.
It sounds like to know that much about ourselves and to have such access to the spiritual nature that we all have is such a gift.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't mean to be dramatic here, but to know that much about what we have at our, what we have access to in terms of wisdom and knowing and so forth is there if we but teach ourselves to get out of our brains with our, I'm going to hold up my cell phone or the latest television program or
absolutely.
Whatever novel you're reading, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is all you can learn about, and there are other ways to learn about yourself, and we know that people need help and seek help and so forth. But our talk today is about dreams and knowing that that is available.
It's a tremendous tool to be able to access the parts of yourself that you're not aware of. And I think fear... we all have fears, and sometimes they're just so intangible. You don't know where they're coming from or what they mean. But working off your fears in the dream state is another powerful tool that we have.
Ooh, say a little.
At our fingertips.
I'm looking at our time, so
okay.
I'm going to. You hold on to that thought about that being a powerful tool, and we're going to once again hear from our sponsors who help to make Life as a Spiritual Occasion and all the other wonderful programs you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing, The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give.
Deal with it in the dream state.
We're talking, I have to interrupt because I think that I might not have done once again with our mics. So we are talking about fear, and it's a very gripping emotion that all humans have. Joyce, I'm very sorry.
That's
so
okay. That's
carry
okay.
on, and that's my bad.
Fear is just one of those things that prevents us from having more love, and that's the whole purpose of dreams, is to lead us to a more divine, divine state, help a more positive state. So, one of the things I read about fear was, it's facing some part of yourself that you're not aware of. And sometimes we don't even know what we fear. They're just like this amorphous feeling inside. So anyway, I had a dream one night, and I was walking across a road heading towards a toll booth, like on the parkway when you have to pay the toll. But at the toll booth was a gorilla. Big gorilla collecting the tolls, and I was terrified. I didn't want to go there, but I had no choice because I couldn't turn around. It was the kind of road you couldn't turn around. You had to keep going, and as I got closer to the gorilla, my fear was just abounding, and I said, what am I going to do? And I thought of, well, maybe if I suck up to the gorilla, like compliment him and be nice to him. So I started saying, oh, you're not so bad. You're a really nice gorilla. And I was saying all these things, shaking in my boots, but saying these things. And as I got up to him, he took off his head, and it was like a mask, and underneath was just a normal person. And he said, you may go. And I passed the test of facing the fear. What that fear was, I don't know. It didn't matter. But the next day, I read something that one of the ways to deal with your fears is to make friends with it. And I thought, wow, be nice to your fears. Make friends with them. Help them, help you see that they're not what we think is the biggest fear that we're facing is really not so bad. We just have to be able to have the courage to face it. And believe me, doing it in a dream state was a lot easier than facing a gorilla, out here or something like that. So, taking the problems that we have into the dream state with us and asking for help with that, whether it's, again, a spiritual person that you look to, Jesus or Buddha or Allah, or just your higher self or your subconscious, whatever you look to for spiritual guidance.
Or an inner being that's specific for you, a master.
Yeah, spiritual master. I have a dream master that I call my dream master because he is in control of my dreams and gives me the dreams that I need. And so asking that person or that being to help you with this particular fear or with any fear, and then take it into the dream state and work on these things inwardly, because your non-physical body is working all the time, 24/7. It doesn't need to sleep. So while the physical body is sleeping, this powerful spiritual body can be off doing things that will benefit you, such as conquering your fears.
So once we learn to, or once we train ourselves to dream and remember it, and then we interpret it, and then we begin to trust it, we actually have some control over how we work together, our dreams and us, that dream consciousness state that you talked about, mm-hmm. with our waking state, or what we think is our real, you know, real mm-hmm. everyday life, right?
Yeah.
So, and it gives us, I can only imagine that gives us a certain freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, it lightens up or moves us into a sense that once we know that we have this relationship with our dream awareness, our dream consciousness, or more than we have to work with our... because when we're awake, I can only imagine that when we're awake and we're afraid of something, we're working with that fear in a very different way than what you just described in the dream you had. Yeah. And the other thing that I thought, Joyce, that you said that was really interesting for those following this conversation is I faced that test. I passed that test. I faced that fear. It doesn't matter what it was. I don't have to know. I just know that I passed the test. So something now has been integrated. Mm-hmm. Something now has been removed. If you take a chunk of fear out, then it's a space for love.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a very nice description of it. It's like, you know, fear, I think sometimes fear is just a blanket umbrella. And our lower self or our consciousness will just throw anything in there. Fear of snakes, fear of, you know, fear of this, fear of death, fear of whatever. And
taking a stand, saying what you want to say, doing what you want to do.
It's the same energy. It's the same energy. Call it what you want. Just say I have fear of snakes, but transfer that to fear of public speaking or fear of anything else. It's all the same energy. So it didn't matter what the gorilla represented. It didn't matter what the fear was. It was taking a chunk of that energy and replacing it with the love. And that's the goal.
Take the mask off, and there's underneath that.
Yeah.
That's built on top of the love, right? And so you take the mask off, if you will, in your analogy. That was a great dream experience.
It was. It was very, very insightful for me.
Yeah. When I knew I was going to be talking to Joyce, I went to the library. But I did find this book called The Art of Spiritual Dreaming, mm-hmm. and I didn't have much time to read it. But I think that given what you're telling me is something that I'm going to look at, because this notion of dreaming being not just something that we record and remember and it gives us clues, but it awakens that whole understanding of us as spiritual beings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's my anticipation. I looked through it briefly before we chatted, and it looks that way to me. So it sounds to me like we're saying, as we look at our final minutes here, doesn't it go fast?
Yeah. And there's so much we haven't covered. Waking dreams.
Well, that's what I said.
Prophecy dreams.
This is part one. I'm clear that this is part one. Okay. But we'll see what our listeners want to hear about it, because I am going to give my email address. But, you know, it sounds like they're a very, very specific tool for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that... they can really help us speak to our spiritual nature. We learned that our dream, you called it the dream state, and I'm saying it's always there. It's mm-hmm. just that we're not aware of it, and we haven't trained ourselves to let it in, or as you say, you open the door and out they pour.
Mm-hmm.
You've just brought so much information and food for thought here for us today. So I'm really thankful about that. I did want to ask you, though. I know you've written a book. Is it about dreams particularly?
Not directly. It's called The Truth About Benjamin Franklin, And it was inspired by
the truth about Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you.
I disguised
by Joyce Snyder.
I disguised it in the book, but essentially, I had a dream with Franklin, who asked me to write a book correcting the misinformation about him, and that was the premise of my book. And I thought, wow, okay. He has a reputation as being a womanizer and all of that, and he said it's not true. And the more I did research outwardly as well as inwardly with him, I saw that it wasn't true. He was just a nice guy who his actions were misinterpreted. But yes, so I do have that book out.
Ah, okay. Well, what we know now, though, of you is that you know an awful lot about dreams, and you've shared a great amount of that with us. And so I'm really delighted that you were willing and available to be here to talk
with
us.
It's always fun to talk about dreams. It's just such an amazing, and there's so much more
great
that it would cover.
I really am extending the invitation when that will happen, but not in the far distant future, that we can come back and talk a little bit more. And I'm going to ask our audience, our listeners, viewers, whatever mode you happen to be following us on, to send me an email. Let me know if all of our conversations here on Life as a Spiritual Occasion have touched you and reached out to you, and particularly about today's with Joyce Snyder, when we're talking about dreams and how much they enrich our lives and give us insights into who we really are and what we're up to. Life as a Spiritual Occasion is here every third Thursday of every month at 4 o'clock. And what we want to do is make sure that we're bringing the topics to you that help you understand that we all have a spiritual nature, and that you can learn to work with that part of you and free that up so that you have some freedom in your spiritual life and in your day-to-day, work-a-day, Monday through Sunday life. So, Joyce, once again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's been a joy.
Thank you. Here from the bridge is Suzanne saying goodbye for one more month.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
and I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet.